It's good to see all of you out this morning in the house of the Lord. We had a great trip yesterday and had a lot of rain and fog and all that driving down there and back. We had a deer encounter on the way back with the front of the van and different things. But God blessed us with a great trip, and they've done an awesome job at Tri-City Baptist Church in Conover. Made us very welcome, and we appreciated that. Had 190 people just involved in the cast. $80,000 to put on the drama for 8 nights. And it was very, very good, and told the story of Jesus and told the promise that he made. And it was very good. So there were several that prayed. Pray that they received the Lord at the end of it when the invitation was given. And they've been doing this for 18 years, this same drama. And they've done very well, and they portrayed it very biblically, right to the Bible. If they were off any, I couldn't tell it. So I thank the Lord for that, and for all the folks that were going to sell out 1,200 seats in the auditorium for four performances would be one thing, but they do it for 8 nights in a row and have a different crowd every year coming back, not always the same people, always new people coming to see it. So we know God's promise is still true, and people are still hearing the promise and still receiving Jesus, and we thank God for that. This morning, if you will, get your white hymn books, turn to page number 72, and let's stand and sing together, Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, God is strong, God is strong.
Amen. This morning, as we come to the Lord in prayer, let's always remember our lost, remember our soldiers, remember the families of the bereaved and brokenhearted, remember the Francis Sturgill family. They'll be laying her to rest tomorrow, and other families that have given up loved ones. I think two different viewings may be going on today, so let's keep all these folks in our prayers. Lift up these families in prayer. Doug Bennett's also on our prayer list, so let's lift Doug up in prayer. Remember also the ones Miss Lucy made. She's in the hospital this morning at Elkin. They're not exactly sure what's going on. Said possible light heart attack. She's having some problems breathing. So she's in ICU there, so let's keep her in our prayers. Miss Cox is home, but Phil said she's not been doing too good yet, so just keep her in our prayers. And remember my grandmother, Doris Wooten, as she's found out she's got a growth on the back of her thyroid that's pushing on her aorta and her trachea, making it difficult to breathe and also for the blood supply. So keep her in your prayers and lift her up. Also, let's continue to remember I just slipped my mind. Anyone else with a prayer request? Maybe I'll remember. Yes, Linda. Let's remember Kenneth Bride as he had a stroke the other day there and been in the hospital. So let's keep him in our prayers. Also David Bright, let's remember him. So let's remember these. Remember these families. Anyone else?
I would like the church to remember my
remember Mark's request. Anyone else? Bob Murphy will be having surgery on Tuesday. Stephen will be having surgery on Wednesday. Holden had his on this past Wednesday. And they said that was normal look for him. So just keep remembering him as they get the test results back. Johnny's back with us. I think they determined he had vertigo and not a stroke. So we're glad for that. So continue to pray for him. And he's doing better. He rode down with me, but I did not make him sick. He was already sick before he got in the car. So he just got worse on the way down there and when he got there. So anyway, but we're glad he's back with us today. So keep him in your prayers. Anyone else? So let's remember Matthew as he starts his new job. Continue to pray for them. Edwin and Pat's mothers, let's continue to remember them. Also remember Justin. He's not been feeling well this weekend. They're treating him, I think, for strep throat, but it sounds more like bronchitis, but I'm not a doctor. But anyway, that's what it sounds like to me. So keep him in your prayers.
Remember me, just they need our
prayers. So let's remember this. Always remember our law enforcement people and our emergency workers and volunteers as they go out. Many times this time of year, they're very busy. So let's keep them all in our prayers. Remember Meg. Remember Karina Green. Her and Josh had their baby yesterday, a little boy. Tuckerdale Green. So I'll get it right here in a minute. Tuckerdale Green. So let's remember them in prayer. I was thinking of Matthew Evans and got all these names mixed up together. But Tuckerdale Green. So we're glad he's here. So keep him in your prayers. So Shirley goes on the 18th for her surgery to repair her kidney. Also, I think Hilda Souther's having her surgery today, tomorrow. So let's remember Hilda in her prayers. Continue to pray for her. It's a very tricky thing where it's at there in the brain and putting in a stent. So let's keep her in our prayers. Any others? Amen. So we're glad for that. So keep him in your prayers. And also Sandra start a new job tomorrow as well, so keep her in your prayers as she undergoes this.
Remember the hungry people that have no place to stay, kids are sleeping in cars and shelters. Remember those that are working with them this holiday season, especially.
Amen. Just remember all these folks that are going hungry. Right. Amen. I'm glad Jesus came down on my level. Died for me. Anyone else with prayer requests by uplifted hand? Anyone that can and will, please come to the altar for prayer. Randy Sturgeon, would you lead us in prayer this morning, please? also remember our young people and some of the ones of us from the church being on around this afternoon doing some Christmas caroling and things there. So just keep us in your prayers that we'll be safe on the roads and be a joy to someone's soul today.
I want to add to just a little bit of what I think Sister Pat was talking about pay. You know, our GDP is what she was talking about in this country is 53, 54,000. I've been researching extreme poverty around the world, and there are countries, their GDP is essentially an average annual income. There are countries that have a $500 to $600 a year average income. We need to be much in prayer for those folks. We have Bibles hanging on doorknobs here. They don't have the word. They can't afford the word. It's either food to survive or God's word. They don't have the money for it. We need to be much in prayer for them. I want to read just a little bit right here in Luke. Y'all, hang on. Oh, good. You ain't standing up yet. We're going to do a new song this morning. It's a beautiful song. Luke 2 says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, as we see the news and we see what's going on around the world, I think in my lifetime there's as little of peace now as I've ever seen. And I wonder, can there be peace ever on earth as I read in the Bible? And out there, there can't. But within ourselves, we can have peace if we know the Lord is our Savior, amen. Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for this choir and for a new face or two that we're seeing up here. So, bless you. Help you.
Somebody leave me a phone?
Right, you
go. Okay.
Don't
answer.
Okay. I'm not
here. Stephen, would you ask a blessing on the offering?
Lord, I thank you this day again.
Do remember, if you do have some shoes or if you have some coats that you no longer wear, as long as they're in good shape, we'd appreciate you bringing them and donating them to someone here. We have boxes set up in the hallway. They are clearly marked for shoes and for coats. Of course, you can tell they're getting kind of loaded up there with shoes. We appreciate that. The shoes are going to be going to the Haiti ministry with First Baptist Church. They're going to be making a mission trip January the 7th to take those down. So be praying over those that they'll reach someone in need. Also, the coats will be used primarily here in our county. If we find someone that's in need of a coat, then we'll be donating that to them to be able to help them out. So if you was to know of someone that's in need, or if you have a coat to donate, we'd appreciate you helping anyway with this. Also remember, the sign-up sheets are on the back for workers for the nursery class. We do have that going now. I do have it fully staffed there with two individuals each Sunday. If you have a child and they get unruly and you'd like to go in there, there is a speaker in there that you can hear the service still and be with them in there. But if you need to stay here in the sanctuary, that's fine too. Remember, our children's church, for that. We have classes there for ages, I believe, 5th through the 8th. So I think it, I may have misspoken that. What is the ages for? 1st through 5th. I know there's a 5 in there somewhere. 1st through the 5th grade. So if you have a child of that age and they'd like to go to children's church, we'd appreciate if you would let them. But if they want to stay with you, that is totally fine as well. Everyone, stand your feet. Welcome each other to church. Table also for a prayer request. If you can help us with that to try to streamline things just a little bit, we'd appreciate that. If you can write your request down as you come in, of course, always feel free to verbalize your prayer requests. But if you could write that down to help us, we'll read over them that way and everybody be able to hear the request that's being made. Not everyone can hear when the requests are made. So if you could help us out with that, we'd greatly appreciate that as well. But just remember that. Remember this afternoon is and this is for everybody that wants to go. To go Christmas caroling, the young people's group did put the food boxes together that we're going to take out for the meals. But it's for everyone who'd like to go in Christmas carol. We're also going to try to get a time set to go to the nursing home and do that again as a church group. So anybody like to go to that, be thinking about that, and we'll announce a time and try to go to the nursing home and sing a few Christmas carols, maybe one Sunday or one Saturday afternoon for those folks. So just keep that in your minds there. Okay. We have some birthdays, it being the first Sunday of the month here in December. We have Nancy Wooten on the 4th, Carly Souther on the 11th, Christabella Williams on the 11th, Janice Robinson on the 14th, Alexandra Vestal on the 15th, Dale Hampton on the 16th, Teresa Dixon on the 17th, Cecilia Annis the 18th, John White the 24th, Jesus on the 25th, Vincent Angel on the 28th, and Wes Starlin on the 31st. Anyone else with a birthday in December? Not willing to admit it. Okay, so it must be all of them. All right, let's stand on our feet and sing happy birthday to these folks. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. We appreciate all these birthdays this morning. So, this time we'll ask Jake. I think he's supposed to sing for us today. So, Jake, you come on and sing.
I really hadn't prepared this morning. Got up here and I walked back here and looked at the board and it said Jacob Evans, December 7th. So I just kind of picked a song. And really before I get started, I want to say thank you to everybody that said prayers for me when I went through my knee surgery. And this past Thursday, the doctor officially said I didn't have to wear the brace anymore. So I'm pretty much fully recovered from that. I still can't run, so I'd lose any races, but feeling much better than I was, and I just want to thank everybody for everything that they did. So. My fears relieved. How precious did thy grace appear?
Have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 16 this morning. John chapter 16. Oh, Brother Wes had a few announcements he was wanting to make as well. I about forgot. Brother Wes, if you'd share your announcements with us, please.
I think that's it. Thank you.
All right, so remember all these. Are those forms available on the back, the waiver sheets? Okay. We do have that here. Okay. Okay, so please get all that information together if you'd like to go. Now, turn to John chapter 16. If you've not already done so, we appreciate the Lord watching over us and protecting us and keeping us safe from harm and danger this week, allowing us to be in His house. I did get some discouraging news on Monday. Went to the eye doctor, and, well, I got some good news and bad news. The good news is the cataract's the least of my worries. The bad news is I have optic nerve disease from the lack of blood going to the optic nerve, so it is causing my sight to fail a little bit. I've noticed it over the past year getting a little worse. But anyway, we don't know how long it'll last, but the Lord will take care of all of it and just keep us in your prayers. We'll do all that we can do as long as we can do it, and God's going to take care of it all. So just remember us in your prayers and give God praise and glory for everything that He's done in our life. As we think about how many years that we've been doing this now for Him, and He's called us in this March the 26th will be 20 years since we announced our calling to preach and been on the road for God, and He's blessed us greatly. And we know that we have seen times change in the last 20 years as far as concerning churches and what in America has been, we've seen come to pass, religions that have come up and are slaying Christians now, and it should not be a surprise to us, because in John chapter 16, Jesus Himself is going to tell us exactly what's going to take place and things that we're going to face. But I'm glad that I am a conqueror through Jesus Christ, more than a conqueror, because I'm an heir and joint heir with Him now. I have a royal inheritance waiting me in the city of God. Thank God He's prepared a place that I'm going to one day where I have a perfect body, we have perfect vision, and thank God we'll have We'll be perfect at that point when we enter into the realms of glory and enter into heaven. I'm not perfect yet. You're not perfect yet. If that burst your bubble, then I'm sorry, but there's none of us perfect on this world yet. We'll never be until we leave this world and go to the land of perfection. But God told us that we're going to be persecuted during these times that we're on this earth. And we see persecution on every hand. We see people that have bowed down to the ideals of man and he took prayers out of places where it should have been kept and went in silence and different things. And us Christians have been too silent for too long. It's time for our mouths to be open and the words of God to be spoken, not our opinions, not our feelings, but what thus saith the Word of God. And when we speak that truth, there's no other things that can come against it that should be able to prevail. Because God's Word will always be victorious, will always prevail. If we stand and proclaim it, we will know that we are proclaiming the truth, and the truth is God's Word, and it's always been truth. In John chapter 16, verse 1 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." Listen, I get offended because people don't want to hear about Christ, but yet they won't tell me about their religion. Listen, we ought to be offended about these things, but it says here that we should not be offended. We should know these things are going to come to pass, that they're going to rise up against the nativity scenes. They're going to rise up against prayer in public places. They're going to rise up against any Christian emblems that's out there in the world because they don't like to be reminded of the death of our Savior on the cross of Calvary. They don't want to be reminded of His birth. They don't want to be reminded that they're responsible to make a choice for salvation. They want to think it's just a happy-go-lucky life and we'll just live any old way. And at the end of the life, if I've been good enough, I'll go to a better place. Let me tell you, friend, that's a hogwash that Satan has sold people right out of the pits of hell, and they're believing it and dying and going to hell this morning. God said that we must be born again. We must know Jesus, and if we are offended by having to surrender our life to Christ, we need to get saved, and it'll no longer offend us. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Let me tell you, not everywhere I've ever preached has it been received very well. When you preach the Word of God and you preach the truth, some people can't stomach it. We need to start wearing our flip-flops to church instead of our steel-toed boots, so when the preacher preaches the Word of God, it will get on our toes and get to our heart. Because we're so hard-headed, we got to start at the bottom and work our way up. A lot of times we got our hard hat on and we're not going to listen to the Word of God if we're beat over the head with it. But if God works on us and works in the heart first, our head will follow. We need to listen to the Word of God. They're putting preachers out of the house of God this morning because they'll preach the Word of God and don't waver, don't back down, don't change. We need something a little more popular to draw the crowd and bring in the people. Now, down there yesterday, that church, it was magnificent. 1,200 congregation seating capacity. But I thought, how many people are a member of that church that no one knows their name? How many people attend that church that whether they're there or not, they're not missed or not appreciated when they're there? And a lot of folks like it that way. I'm not responsible, they don't know me, and I don't have to do anything except show up when I feel like it. See, in a congregation this size, I can look back over the crowd and most of the time tell you who's out in just a few short seconds. Preacher, I didn't think you could see that far. When you sit in the same place all the time and you ain't there, I know who's not here. I know who's not here. It's easy to take roll that way. But God sees our heart. Preachers being thrown out, the Word of God being thrown out of the synagogue. We call it a church today. Here He said synagogue. Many places the Word's not being used. Form and fashion has took the place of God's Word and God's Spirit moving. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. It's easy to see when things like this come to pass. When the preacher's too loud, the preacher's too soft, the preacher's too long-winded, the preacher don't preach long enough. I've never heard that excuse. They do these things because they don't know God. When we handcuff God, we won't allow Him to work in our life. And we wonder why we don't receive the blessings. We wonder why our cups are not filled up. We wonder why we're not being blessed of God. It's because we're handicapping Him. We're tying His hands and we're not allowing Him to work in our life. Churches that once had a spirit of service unto God, had a spirit of life in it, is dead, dried up, and give up. They lack a vision. And the vision is not just by their sight of what to see to do, but it's listening to the Word of God that they may obtain the vision of what God has intended for the church to do and be. We've got a misconception. It's not just a place where people come and gather together to worship on Sunday and Wednesday nights. That's not the church. The church is God's people. We still have work to do. But it says when they do these things, and whosoever killeth you, they think that they do God's work. They don't know who God is. They don't know what it is. All these religions that preach so much hate and anger and killing. So many of these religions that want their law in America, that gives them the right, if they decide they, if their wife don't speak to them right, that they can kill her. If their neighbor trespasses against them 3 times, gives them the right by their law to kill them. That's not our American laws. That's not God's law. God said, "Thou shalt not kill." He told us to love our neighbors, to love our families, to love one another, to love as He loves the church. Men, if we'll love our wives as Christ loves the church, there'll be difference in homes. There'll be difference in land, in this land and country like we've never saw. It'll get back to the way that it used to be when family meant something to one another. "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." Listen, God is preparing us for yesterday. He's prepared us for today, and He will prepare us for tomorrow. We might not be able to receive all the things today that He has in store for tomorrow. We may have some more maturing to do. And we like to stay as infants in Christ for some reason. But it's time that we grow up and become Christian men and women and get off the milk of God's Word and also off the milk of our service unto God. That we present ourselves to Him, that He can use us wholly and continually until we're used up. When I leave this world, I don't want there to be anything left that God can't use. I want it all to be given to Him, and I want to be given to Him. Now, do I always accomplish that? Do I? If it sounds like I'm being perfect, let me tell you, I don't accomplish it. I said, I want to. Hey, I'm in the flesh too. Many times the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Once you make that commitment, stick with that commitment. God will bless you for it. But He didn't tell us these things in the beginning because He didn't tell them because He was with them. "But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou?" Jesus is about to depart from them. Well, think about that. If somebody's with you that you truly admire and walk with and have talked with as a friend, and you knew they were going to be leaving this earth, would you ask them a question? Would you long to speak with them and talk with them just one more time? How many times have we not taken advantage of that? How many times have we thought, oh, it'll just be like always. I'll see them some other time. Sadly, there's been many people that have left this world and things have been left unsaid and undone. But Jesus said it all while He was here. He spoke to us through His revelation that His Father had gave Him to speak to us, to teach us about His love, to teach us about His mercy, to make the promise that He would always be there for us, even to the ends of the earth. He would never leave us nor forsake us. His blood sacrifice would be sufficient for all mankind. And it's still true today, the promise that Jesus made. He's still there and it's still real. "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." We have let sorrow and fear fill our hearts to the point that we are afraid to speak up, that we're afraid to stand against anything, We're afraid to stand for anything. We just want to go along and people don't look at us and put us in a category. They can put me in a category. I don't care. If you don't want to be put in the category, make sure you have how you're acting to be put in the right category. Christian, hypocrite, lost. What might be your category today? Saved child of God? Prepared and ready? Some people's category they want to be lumped into is Baptist. That's okay as long as you're a saved Baptist. But I'm saved first. And then the Baptist persuasion got a hold of me. But I thank God. The doctrine that He teaches in His Word, if we stand on it, we don't have to worry about what category they put us in. Just know I'm a believer in the whole Word of God, not just part, but in all. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming. When Jesus ascended back to the Father, He said, the Father's going to send you another Comforter. 40 days after this, we see that when they were gathered together there to preach the Word of God, that the Spirit of God moved upon them, and cloven tongues of fire set down upon them, and every man that was there that day heard the Word preached in their language. The Holy Spirit filled the place and made it possible that everyone knew about Jesus that was gathered together there that day. God can do great and miraculous things if we'll allow Him. If we'll allow Him to. He can take the smallest kernel of seed and it be put in the ground and it come forth and produce a great harvest. He can take a small object and make it great by His use. He can take someone that's small, broken, frail, scared, and all the things that go along with this flesh and use them for greatness. Though it's not in me to be great, but it's all in God. God's greatness, God's glory. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Ain't you glad that you've got someone else that goes with you? Jesus walks with us through His Spirit. He talks with us through His Spirit. He indwells us and goes everywhere that we go, that we never go anywhere alone. That when we're in the dark, physically, we still have Jesus. If we're in the light, physically, we still have Jesus. No matter where we're at in our walk of life, if we're trusting God and trusting Jesus as our Savior, He's with us. He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Why are so many people afraid of the Holy Spirit? There's so many people that's afraid of the Holy Spirit. It's time to embrace Him. It's a gift from God that He has given us, that we don't walk empty in this life, that we have the instruction of God, that we have His tutor that follows with us in our life as we read His Word. There's no better interpreter of His Word than the author and finisher of the book, Jesus Christ, God the Father. He will reprove the world of sin. That's why people don't want to hear about the Holy Spirit. That's why people don't want to know about Jesus. It's because He reproves the sin. He makes them face who they are. As we look into the mirror of God's Word, we see who we are or what we are not. What we would like to be but afraid to be because of what friends or family may think of us. Business contacts that we may lose because we are a child of God. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Oh, of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Who is the prince of this world? Satan. He's the prince and the power of the air. Why do you think so many people are suffering so much right now? Because Satan is going to Jesus and asking for you by name. And just as Job was tormented by Satan to try to cause him to be faithless, to try to cause him to lose his faith in God, Satan is doing the same to us today. He's going before the throne room of God and he's saying, "What about your servant Brad? What about your servant Lucy? What about your servant Stephen? What about Johnny? Let me afflict them a little bit more and see if they don't quit on you." Too many times people have given up. Blame God for the condition they're in. I thank God that Satan's found me in a worthy opponent to want to afflict me. And boy, he's doing his number on us. But it's still not as bad as it could be. Because I got one that's greater. And he's going to deliver. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Boy, I tell you one thing, what a merciful God we've got. He gave us 66 books to learn about Him. We have the Old Testament to teach about His coming, of His sovereignty, of the dual line purpose of the prophet's message of Jesus coming once as a babe born in Bethlehem and as a mighty king. The twofold prophecy that was given of Jesus that has caused so much confusion in the Jewish world. That reason they couldn't accept Jesus as He come as a baby born in a manger there in Bethlehem. Because they heard the prophecy of a great and mighty king coming, and that's what they're looking for. "But I saw a king born in a manger, coming in the way of a babe under the kindred of man, taking on flesh and blood, that He could go be my sin sacrifice and put His blood upon the mercy seat, because He became my near kinsman to pay my debt. And I have a royal king and I'm part of a royal priesthood. And thank God one day the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to ride out on a white steed. And I can't just imagine how magnificent it's going to be. But I can tell you this, I'm going to get to be part of it." He said, "But I have not told you many things and say unto you, because you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Don't be surprised when God opens your mind and when you're reading God's Word that you can see it unfolding. That's the Holy Spirit's purpose in your life. To teach to you, to comfort you, to give you the inside to God's Word. Embrace it. Thank Him that He's talking. But He don't speak of Himself. Have you ever one time heard the Holy Spirit brag on Himself? No. Did you ever hear Jesus claim to be doing the work of Jesus? No, He always said, "I do the work that I see the Father do. I come to do the will of the Father." When He prayed in the garden, "If there's any way that this cup can pass from me, Father, please let it do so. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." If we're proclaiming Jesus, there's no room to proclaim self. "He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." Thank God He's still showing us from His Word the things that we ought to do, the life that we ought to live. "All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Him hanging on a cross, dying for your sin? Have you saw the perfect Lamb of God taken down and placed in a borrowed tomb? Have you saw Him resurrect on the third day, walk and talk among them, and be taken back up in the clouds? And the man standing around said, "Why do you stand gazing into the heavens?" This same Jesus is coming back. In like manner as He went up, are we looking, are we longing for the day? How many of you got excited when gas got below $3 a gallon? Oh, probably it was on your cell phone. You probably calling somebody. Hey, gas over here. It's down to 260. Hey, it's 270. It's down. It's 259 over there. Over in Galax and Independence, it's on down there. Boy, we was getting on the phone telling people about the good news. Do we do the same about Jesus? Do we share it the same way? Do we get enthusiastic? I'm going to say when the Cowboys was playing, who was it they played the other night? The Bears? I can't remember now. I watched it. Must not have been very memorable. There's a lot of hollering going on for both sides. When Allegheny played Robbinsville, and by the way, if we got any football players in here, congratulations, you've done very well. You should be very proud of yourself going to the fourth round. That is a major accomplishment in high school sports around this area. We're proud of them. We need to pray for them and pray for the coaches. Maybe it'll give them a hunger and a desire, but it should give us a hunger and a desire as a church when we know that we have already won the championship. Amen. Not to become satisfied just to be on the team, but to give some praise and glory. Praise and glory. Their hearts were broken. The disciples' hearts were broken. Their leader going away. They couldn't fully understand what they had been being taught all this time. They couldn't fully understand when Jesus said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. They didn't understand all of what Jesus was trying to tell them. Sometimes we don't understand all that God's Word is trying to tell us, but don't give up on it. Keep reading and keep studying it. It will come when you're able. When you're able to understand, God will reveal it. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him and said unto Him, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said? A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me. How many of us have questions to ask God? Listen, it's not wrong to say, God, I don't understand. I need some clarification. Amen. He'll tell us. Now, where we become wrong is questioning His motives in doing things or questioning why it has to happen this way. We don't understand why things have to happen the way they do. God knows. That's in His control. But if we need clarification, it's not a sin to say, God, I need some help. Help me to be able to understand. Help me to be able to receive this for my life. Help me to be able to grow as a Christian. But they was questioning among themselves, and He knew their heart was sorrowful. Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Shall be turned into joy. When we meet Jesus, we should have joy. When we meet with each other, our spirits should commune one with another and be able to have joy in serving Jesus, not a drudgery. Are we approachable as Christians? I've seen some Christians, I wouldn't go up and dare ask them anything because they're not approachable. They don't project Jesus from them. They don't project God from them. And you don't know what they're going to do when you come up to them and talk to them. We need to be approachable as Christians. Amen. We need to be Jesus-like and share Jesus with others that our sorrow may be turned into joy. How is our sorrow? How is our joy? He goes on to say, the woman when she's in travail, when she's having a baby, after the baby's born, she don't remember the pain and agony that her body went through. Because the joy comes in and takes away that pain. Blocks out those memories of the hurt. The near-death experience that women go through giving birth. God blocks all that out and gives them joy that they don't remember those things. All they know is their heart is so full of love for this little miracle that God has given them, that all those things are gone away. There's much hurt in this world today. No doubt many of us have went through a lot of hurt, but God is the balm for that hurt. He will take away those sorrows. He will give you joy that is full if you'll allow Him. Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to go through the most gruesome death that can be had. Because if you die lost without Jesus, hell will be your home. I've heard stories of people having to be held down in hospitals as they were dying. Now, you say, this, you shouldn't tell these kind of things, preacher. I'm not giving names. I'm not saying who. This is a testimony of people when they died lost, crying out to get them out of the fire that they were burning. And that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. But I've also heard stories of dear saints that have seen the gates of glory. I've seen people that have went on and have given the testimony that they were saved and ready to go and see their faces and see a man standing and know that it was Jesus standing to welcome them home. Now that's peace. And God will only give you that peace if you're His child. Friend, He wants to give you to give it to you today, that you can have the peace of Jesus, that you can truly know what Christmas is about this season, about His death, burial, and resurrection, about His birth, His time of growing, His ministry. He came to be your most precious gift. As we stand to our feet, as they come to play, friend, if you're here lost and undone without Jesus, today is the day of salvation. If God's dealing with your heart, if you know that you're lost and undone without Jesus and you leave in that condition, friend, you are playing a dangerous game, a very dangerous game. All heads bowed, all eyes closed, all over the congregation, no one looking but Jesus and myself. He already knows your heart's condition. Will you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm lost this morning. I need to be saved. I'm lost and undone without Him. I've never surrendered to Him, never confessed Him as my Savior. And I realize that I need Him this morning, that I need to be saved." Friend, it ain't going to save you, but it's the first step on recognizing and knowing that you need a Savior. Is there one anywhere? Lift your hand high. If you're here, I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to drag you to this altar. Never do that. I want you to come submissive unto Jesus. Choose to love Him. He already chose to love you. Christian, maybe you're here this morning. You got a need. Step out and come. Come to the altar, where our Heavenly Father will meet with you. You say, "Well, I can make an altar anywhere." That is so true. But there's something special about God's altar in His church. The humbleness to come before man, bow down, not worried about what others may think, but know that you got prayer warriors standing there with you. If you need someone to pray with you, they'll come. Take them by the hand. Two is always stronger than one. Will you come? Will you come? See no other movement. You may be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we think about those notes of that song, dear God, "Just as I Am," how we come to you. Lord, as we surrender, we give you this marred vessel, dear Heavenly Father, many times, and ask you to make it anew. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that we can't clean up our own unrighteousness. We can't pay for our own sins. That it's no way possible. God, as we trust you for it, Lord, we pray that folks will surrender it all to you. We'll surrender it to you, dear God. Help us. Give us strength. Give us courage. Give us the ability, dear God, to stand and still proclaim Christ, whatever the circumstances may face us on the tomorrow. God, be prepared for this day and know that you have tomorrow in your hands. God, help us to just trust you. Know that everything's under control. God, bless these that have come this morning to pray, whatever the need might be, that you touch their hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, fulfill their needs, dear God, as they pray, as they ask you with faith, believing that you will hear their prayer. and answer according to your will. Dear God, we pray for the many that are sick, that you'll reach down and touch them this morning. Bring them up off their beds of affliction. Dear Heavenly Father, give them strength to return to your house to give praise and honor unto you. Dear Heavenly Father, for those that are sad and sorrowful this morning, dear God, who bereaved with the loss of a loved one here at this time of year, God, we pray that you comfort their hearts. Pray for the testimony that is left behind of Christian folks, dear God, that we'll know that we will meet them once again. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for all things in this life, dear God, that you have given us and your many blessings. Go with us now and lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I'm going to have them play a song of invitation. Not done it in several weeks. Haven't felt led to. But if you've been coming to the church and you'd like to join with us by letter, recommendation, baptism, any way that Baptists can receive members, we'll wait upon you for just a few moments of time. If everyone would please stand to your feet. Take it by no movement that all hearts were satisfied. Any words of testimony on anyone's heart? Do remember this afternoon at 2 o'clock, if you'd like to come go Christmas caroling with us, we'd appreciate having you with us. And we will be going around and delivering these meals today and doing some Christmas caroling. So we appreciate that. And if you can't go with us, pray for us that God will give us a safe journey. Any other words? If not, Ronnie, would you dismiss us in prayer?